With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're back. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here alongside Leap 36, going to join us as well. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Appreciate you hanging out. Appreciate you coming back with us here on the new year and being here for all 15 years of 105.7 FM, the Fan, as we celebrate that 15-year anniversary here today. We got a ton to get to. We'll talk to John McNamara at 2:48. Our own radio Joe Zenzola was on the morning show earlier today. If you missed any of that, we'll bring that to you along with Radio Joe at 3:35 because it was something that you do not want to miss. Rob Reichel of Forbes is here at 3:48 talking Packers football. We'll hear from the head coach in the 4 o'clock hour along with Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider. You follow his great coverage at Eric_Name, N-E-H-M, on Twitter. He's here at 4:48. Mike Clemens stops by at 5:35, and then I will join Bill Michaels down at the Brat Stop tonight for the Bud Light Huddle. So we got a packed up day for you here on 105.7 FM, the Fan. It opens up at 414-799-1250. Also, you can tweet us at 105.7 FM, the Fan. You can email live at 105.7 FM, the Fan. Yesterday, a frustrating game for Wisconsin Badger fans to watch. But the lead up to this is where I think the fascinating part comes to the conversation of a Rose Bowl loss to Oregon 28-27 yesterday in Pasadena. While frustrating, yes, understating where the expectation and the excitement level was for this game, Sparky, was back and forth. You talk to some people and it's, man, it's the Rose Bowl. Badgers, I remember back in 1993 when they made it to their first one and they got the jinx out and they were able to win against UCLA. And there's people that remember the back-to-backs in 99-2000. For me, a little bit more recently, I think of the Rose Bowl and I remember the three straight losses. But those teams that went were just really, really solid crews. And now it's been changed up with the invention of the television title, the College Football Playoff that ESPN put together. But yesterday in Pasadena, you talk to any of the 90,000, and Gary Ellerson will join us next week. He's out there right now. That game meant something, and it meant something to everybody on the field. It felt like people, maybe it's just after the loss, and I think people like to dramatize the feelings after a loss, right? We all like to freak out after the loss, and goodness gracious, it happens to us again. But yesterday, it felt like after the loss, the Rose Bowl became a whole lot more meaningful to a lot of Badger fans.
Okay, look.
Welcome back, by the way. Sorry.
Thanks.
Good to see you again.
This is the thing. I said this whole thing about the Rose Bowl before, that to me, it just didn't have the same oomph as it had prior to this whole playoff thing put together, because that now is how you determine the national champion. This is just another bowl game amongst all bowl games. Lo and behold, now we get to the actual day, and I find myself a little jacked up and wanting to watch the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Leading up to that point, I really didn't care about it one way or the other, to be completely honest, because it was just another bowl game. But when we got to New Year's Day, I was like, okay, I want to watch this. I just want to see. Because it dawned on me, in my brain, that yeah, they've been there, but they haven't won one in a while, and didn't realize that they hadn't won one in the 2000s yet. So I was like, all right, let's see what happens. This should be a good game. It'll be competitive. Folks, you just can't turn over the ball that many dang times and expect to win football games. And you still had a chance to win up until the last turnover. You still had that opportunity. You were ahead with a chance to win it.
Jonathan, even after your punter just dropped the ball for the second straight game, drops the football. I will never understand that.
I don't know.
We'll never understand.
But
that.
For me, it's Jonathan Taylor, my man. Dude, you've got to figure this out. Because at the next level, you get the wrong coach, and you're just going to be watching. And they are not going to deal with this fumbling problems that has pretty much haunted you since you've been in a Badger uniform. And again, it happened. And look, I get he feels bad. They kept showing him on the sidelines after he fumbled the ball. And you could tell that he was, you know, heartbroken or whatever you want to say about it. But gosh darn it, man. You're the best player on offense. You can't be giving the ball away because you know the quarterback's probably going to give it away at some point too. So you got to worry about that. And it's not like you can place singular blame on Jack Cohen. You can't place blame just on Jonathan Taylor, right? Mm-hmm. You can't focus before.
Anthony Lottie is pretty easy to say, but yeah.
A lot of people have put him on that poor kid. But, you know, before the Hornet broke, everybody could point at Hornet and go, dude, you're killing me. Like, you throw interceptions every game. Enough is enough, dude. You are killing this team. And there was numerous people making mistakes in that game, and you still had a chance to win. And I heard Joe Zanzola on earlier today, and he was covering the Rose Bowl for us, and he'll be on with us coming up in the next hour at 3:35. And he said, well, they were the better team. Were they? They had, what, four turnovers?
No, the better team doesn't turn the ball over like that.
I agree with you. This wasn't where, okay, you had one turnover at the end that cost you. Until that point, you played error-free football, flags weren't a big deal, and you simply made a mistake in a crucial situation. Okay, maybe I'll listen to that. But in this situation, you made several mistakes throughout this football game. Several. And I know the referees weren't always on your side before everybody calls up and talks to me about pass interference penalties and everything else. I get it. But that was a frustrating situation there to not be able to close that gap. Does it win you anything? Nope. Doesn't win you a national championship? Does not. Does it win you a higher seed or a seed in the playoffs next year if you win this bowl game this year? Nope, doesn't win you that either. It doesn't do much at all for you from a fan base perspective. From the university perspective, you win. Yeah, okay, you cash in. Sure. I mean, from the coaching staff perspective, maybe they get bonuses if they win a Rose Bowl. So from their perspective, players don't get a dang thing. So they don't get anything extra out of it if they win the football game, other than the pride factor of saying, hey, they won a Rose Bowl.
Ring. Yeah.
Which is a pretty big deal, for sure. I think that
Rose Bowl ring is pretty sweet, too.
And you can probably sell that for some money later on if you wanted. But yeah, that was tough, man. That was disappointing. For me, it still comes back at the end of the day. It wasn't really for anything.
It feels like it became a thing because people were upset of how the game ended, right? And you brought up the officiating. That was a conversation had, I know, a lot of yesterday. And I talked to Joe last night on the postgame show, and he's heartbroken, and everybody was frustrated. It was an upsetting way to lose the game, and you lose. But how big is a Rose Bowl win or loss to you? If you want to join the conversation, it's 414-799-1250. You can also tweet us at 1057FM, The Fan. From a program standpoint, I don't know how much it does. I think going into the offseason, it is a factor. It is a pride thing. As you talked about, players maybe monetarily don't get anything, but you get the enjoyment factor of one more game. You get 15 more practices. And from a coaching standpoint, I think that is leaps and bounds the most important factor. But the Rose Bowl still has some cachet. In the way you lost that game yesterday, you gave opportunities away, and certain publications I was reading earlier today on game wraps and stuff like that called them some unforced turnovers. Outside of the drop punt, Oregon played pretty good defense, being able to force those turnovers. The one on Danny Davis got popped in the shoulder pad right on the ball. I mean, those are good defensive plays, and sometimes you turn it on the other side. Like you said, I don't know how you can say Wisconsin was the better team yesterday, because the better team does not turn the ball over in those crucial opportunities, those biggest moments. You can't make plays like that, and Paul Chris knows that as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's the one thing is you get, what, a month? Right? Like a month to get ready for this football game.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you get some guys some extra work that really haven't been able to get the work and kind of show what they might be good for next year as you get ready for spring camp and all of that stuff. And so that's positive. You get to maybe outthink yourself sometimes schematically as far as what you want to do against Oregon. And sometimes you're a little too cute in bowl games, trying to be smarter than smart at the end of the day. But you can't account for physical errors. You can practice and practice and practice. And Jonathan Taylor can look great. And Jack Cohen done throw a pick for a month in practice. And everything looks beautiful. And then the game happens, and then physical errors start happening, and you can't stop them. And it's just all rolling downhill on you at that same point. What exactly was it that everybody wanted Paul Chris to do in that game? What was he supposed to do? Well, you know, I know Jonathan Taylor will probably fumble in this game, so I'm not going to play him. Jack Cohen, probably a good chance he might throw a pick, so I'm not going to play him either. Okay, so you play Graham Mertz, let's say. No guarantee he's not going to throw one, two, or three interceptions in that game, too.
Especially in front of 90,000, his first opportunity.
Right, and he never played in a bowl game before. Mm-hmm. Wasn't prepared to come into this game to be playing one way or the other. There's a lot of things that go into this. Again, going back to what I said before, it's hard to place blame on one single individual, player or coach, as far as why they lost this game. And the other part of this is, were they really as good as what everybody thought they were throughout the course of the season? You know, Minnesota took care of business, and they beat Auburn. Now, you can say whatever you want about Minnesota and whatever you want about P.J. Fleck, but Auburn is a solid football team that had a pretty good season, and they took care of them in a bowl game after, you could argue, Minnesota could have came in with their head down because they screwed up against Wisconsin and didn't finish, and that could have had some hangover effect on them. But again, you get a month to get ready for this, get your head out of the sand, and go play a big-time bowl game, in which Minnesota has not been in forever.
And allegedly, we get to see P.J. Fleck use his camera crew to tape some practices from last year's bowl games. And different organizations, different programs place different weight on bowl games. And I think that's where it's fun for Badger fans to look at. You're now an established program. Since 2002, you've been in a bowl game each and every year. So we have these conversations of do they lose relevancy, or is it simply because it's not a college football playoff game? That meant something to Badger fans watching the game yesterday. However it works out, what did it mean, win or loss? How big of a deal is it for you? That's one side of the argument. But elsewhere, I think you look at what that game does for a program. Not ultimately a ton. As you said, does it lock you in a seed next year? No. Does it guarantee you an opportunity to grow upon things? No. But you got to see good big-time performances by big-time players who some, I think, might be back more than we might think.
The other aspect of this, and we'll get to the calls, 414-799-1250. Obviously, want to hear from you, your thoughts on yesterday's Rose Bowl game, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. We'll talk with John McNamara of BadgerBlitz.com coming up at about a half hour from right now about the recruiting perspective from this football game, right? So if they win the football game, does it help them any more with recruiting than them losing the football game in the fashion that they did with recruiting? Is some kid sitting at home on New Year's Day, like that Burger kid, the running back out of New Jersey? And he's got LSU, he's got all the top programs, including Wisconsin. And Wisconsin's in his top five. And I saw what Paul Chris said. Well, or was it Settle? One of them said, well, it's going to be running back by committee, essentially, next year. We don't have that dude. Well, first of all, I think his name's Jalen Berger. If I'm him and I'm in New Jersey and I'm reading that quote, well, I can be that dude. I will be that dude. I'll come in there and I'll take that job. That job will be mine as a freshman. But is that dude sitting in New Jersey watching this? I think he went to Don Bosco. Is he sitting there watching this going, man, you know, if they would have beat Oregon in that Rose Bowl, I'm thinking I'm probably going to go over there over LSU.
Sure.
But they lost the Rose Bowl, so LSU it is for me. I just don't know if that's the case. Now, having said that, if they would have got smoked by Oregon and there would have been a noticeable gap, then it's maybe, all right, well, you know, they're a little bit further behind than I thought as far as competing for a national championship.
Absolutely.
And I want to be in that position to compete for a national championship. Clearly, LSU, even though they're going to lose their quarterback, might be closer than, say, Wisconsin. But you played straight up with Oregon for, you know, the entire four quarters and represented yourself well in that game outside of the turnovers.
And one of the other factors of it, the appearance is one thing, the production in the game can be another. And I think those can go hand in hand, where seeing that team on TV that is recruiting you and sending you letters each and every week on the Rose Bowl, that can be one thing. Does the result maybe matter? Maybe not as much. We'll talk to somebody that played in a couple of these old school BCS style games, Leroy Butler, when he leaps in here coming up next. It's the Wendy's Big Show. How big was that loss, or would a win have been for the Wisconsin Badgers in the Rose Bowl yesterday? We're talking about it with you on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. John McNamara answers that question and the recruiting style of it at 2:48. Joe Zanzola is in Pasadena. He stops by at 3:35. Lots to get to. Just getting started. Wendy's Big Show off and running on a fan.
Huge, right? I mean, you lose by 1 point, and those are opportunities. And yet you just got to keep finding ways, and we didn't. But all those are big. You know, we had, you know, we're driving and we get a, you know, penalty. JT has a nice run and we get a penalty and didn't overcome that. You know, we didn't overcome ourselves.
Paul Chryst, after yesterday's loss in Pasadena for the Wisconsin Badgers, 414-799-1250. Badgers lose to Oregon by one, turn the football over four times, allow a scoop and score off the punter Anthony Lottie's second punt, or punt that has not been blocked, just dropped within the last 2 weeks. I went off on this a little bit last night when I talked to Joe on the postgame show. Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show. We talked to Joe Zinzola last night. Also, we'll talk to Sidney Moncrief coming up on Monday. Bucks back on the floor on Saturday night in a home-and-home against San Antonio. But I went off on this. I'm very okay when guys get hit and fumble the football, right? Danny Davis on the end around. Good, solid, clean hit by Breeze on Oregon. Those plays are going to happen, right? They stand up, Taylor. Not something that you believe out of the best running back in the country, that you're just going to be able to get it stripped away. But that's his game.
But that's got to be something. If you're Oregon coming into that game, Billy, you have to know, hey, go for that ball.
100%.
He's probably going to fumble game plan. They're going for the ball. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Taylor has to know they're coming for the ball.
And then, but then the other part is, while everybody else is playing real football, and you're the punter on the team, The one thing that I know you should be able to do is put the ball out of your hands, onto your foot, and get rid of it. You don't miss in back-to-back games. I don't know how that happens. So somebody, if anybody is going to be frustrated with anybody on the Wisconsin Badgers, Anthony Lottie might have wanted to get his own plane ticket back to Madison, because that is frustrating as all hell.
So how does that work when you're a teammate of that guy?
You put your arm over him and just say, hey, man, it's all good. But inside, you are just – how does that happen?
I don't know.
How do you drop the football? Out of all the things you can do, you drop the football, Sparky.
I don't know.
It's got to go to your foot. It's right there. Boom. You do it every day 1,000 times. Anyway, how big of a loss was that for you as a Wisconsin Badger fan? 414-799-1250.
Could be nerves. Right? Couldn't some of it be nerves?
It has to be.
The Minnesota game was a big game.
Two of the hugest games that he's played in that has happened to him in back-to-back weeks.
Yep.
But nerves, I mean, we understand they're young adults, they're student-athletes. Dude, you're playing D1 college football. You're now as semi a pro athlete as there can be.
It pretty much
kind
of
is semi-pro. That's a
mistake
you can't make.
Kind of is semi-pro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the NCAA and the football equivalent of the minor leagues until the NFL gets smart and makes their own. 414-799-1250. It's always fun. In Oshkosh, we find Rick. Rick, you're on the fan.
Yeah, thanks for taking my phone. Sparky, you know how I feel about the system. Until they abolish the playoff system, all these games are meaningless. It helps for recruiting and stuff like that, like you said. But other than that, all the unsportsmanlike stuff that's been going on during these games, and they're not playing for nothing. They're playing for a trophy. There's a game on right now where there's no fans in the stands. There's a game between Boston College and Cincinnati. It doesn't mean a damn thing.
Right, but that's not the Rose Bowl.
What I'm trying to say is it's time to set up a system the right way. I've been trying to implement this,
mm-hmm.
and have the semifinals on a Saturday night before New Year's Day. Take all the fun out of it.
Yeah.
It takes all the fun out of it. So, you know, I don't know how many teams you would put in a bracket, but I would do at least 10 or 18.
18 teams. Okay.
18 teams. You would need, you know, Penn State, Minnesota, mm-hmm. Notre Dame. Well, they would have to join the conference. But the teams with one loss should still have a chance to win the national championship.
But they did have their chance to win the national championship. It's called the regular season. Thanks, Rick. That's the toughest part about it. College football is the one sport, Sparky, where the regular season means something.
Means everything.
Wisconsin had a playoff game. It was in Columbus against Ohio State. That was their playoff game.
They really had two, because Minnesota was essentially a playoff game
100%.
To advance as well.
And you have your opportunities along the way, right? Baylor had their chance to go to the playoff. They played in the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma. They lost. Penn State had their playoff game. They went to Minnesota when they were a top five team. They lost. They don't deserve to go in. Why would you want to watch another game like Oklahoma-LSU? Because sorry, everybody that was cheering for Memphis, you guys would have gotten smoked by 50 if you played LSU again.
I agree. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be that much of a blowout, but it ended up being, and I don't see how Clemson stays with LSU either. But having said that, I guarantee you right now, if they expand this playoff to 8 teams and you get more teams in, college football will make a ton more money because you'll have more TV rights deals and everything else. You'll have more fan bases traveling.
ESPN wishes it was 30.
Right. You'll have more fan bases traveling too. If Wisconsin would have been in an 8-team playoff and it would have been Penn State in the Rose Bowl, how many Badger fans would have given any credit to that whatsoever? Yeah, whatever. As we're in the playoff. Who cares that you're in the Rose Bowl?
Cool.
Nobody cares, right?
Mm-hmm.
And same thing Ohio State says. Okay, you go be in the Rose Bowl, Wisconsin, and we're in the games that matter right now at the end of the day. And so for me, that is really the difference, is from a fan base perspective. I think having been a Badger fan my whole life and having lived here, the Rose Bowl has always been the bowl game to be in. And that did change once they came up with this 14 playoff, no doubt. But when Daryl Bevel and Barry Alvarez go to that first Rose Bowl and win it against UCLA, that was a huge, huge deal. Huge, huge deal. Because then you legitimately did win the Big Ten, and you were in the Rose Bowl because you were the best team. And that's why it was a huge deal. Now, you didn't really win the Big Ten. You get to go to the Rose Bowl because you were the second best team in the Big Ten. And going up to it, I'm telling you, I really wasn't all that excited. But when it got to that day, when it got to New Year's Day morning, and I'm thinking to myself,
you were watching the Tournament of Roses parade.
Turned on the parade, because you know I'm a parade dork.
Yep.
Turned on the parade, and then I'm just like, man.
Saw the Greendale marching band.
Yeah, man. So jealous. So jealous. I ever tell you that story? I had a chance to play in that parade. And the marching band that I was in back in the day, board of directors didn't deem that it was financially made a lot of sense for us to go to California for the band to be in the Rose Bowl parade. So I never got to play.
Oh, because that wouldn't make sense. Why would you want to play in the Tournament of Roses parade, right?
Right. They probably still are. They're still marching. We were the only CYO band left in the country. That's why we were going to get put in. Not because we were all that good.
Sure.
We weren't. But we were the only one left in the country. So we were going to be allowed to march in it. And then it never happened.
Well, you guys got screwed. That's what I'll say. You guys got robbed.
Never let that go.
So now, because you are the ultimate fan, Sparky. So what you just said as a Badger fan, to have the opportunity to play in one of those playoff games would be great, right? It would be what the old Rose Bowl kind of was.
Right.
So, but if they expand this thing and say Wisconsin was in as the 8 seed and they go play LSU.
Would not watch Rose Bowl. Don't care.
But is it that much better knowing you're going to go in and get housed against the team, one of the 3 teams that actually can win the national championship?
I don't know. It all depends. Because you're saying, well, you're going to be the 8 and you're going to get the 1. But what if you're the 6? Because
there were 3 teams that could have won the national championship this year. This year.
Right.
Right.
But in other years,
usually there's 2 or 3.
In other years, maybe there's only 2 dominant teams.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're the 6 versus the 3. Maybe you're the 5 versus the 4. And it can go either way. And now I get to play another game after that because I'm the 5 and upset the 4. So from that perspective, yeah, I think that is a bigger deal than going to the Rose Bowl. Because now if it's 8, now it might be the Pac-12's 3rd team. It might be the Big Ten's 3rd team and the Pac-12's 3rd team in the Rose Bowl.
And I don't want to watch Oregon State get it handed to them in a 1-8 and just waste my time.
Right.
Like, that part of it is more frustrating to me than it only being 4 teams and you have teams left out that maybe could have at least hung around for 3 quarters with an LSU.
I'm telling you.
Or hung around with Ohio State.
I don't care if they make the playoff 20 teams, 25, 30 teams. As soon as this Badger football team makes a playoff and has a legit chance at a national championship, if they win games, this state will be upside down with excitement.
Then you're making it the NCAA tournament in basketball,
which
essentially means
all
the regular
with the
season completely means nothing.
Agreed with you. But that's why I don't like the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole nother talk. But when the Badgers make the tournament, still a big deal, right? When Marquette makes the tournament, big deal. If and when the Panthers ever make an NCAA tournament again, it'll be a big deal there too. So from that perspective, it still kind of is a big deal. Now, once you're in, expectations change, right? If you're the Badgers, you're going, well, you better at least get out of the first weekend, right? You better not lose the first game. You better at least get out of the weekend, get to the Sweet 16, and then let's see what happens. Because anything short of the Sweet 16, from a Badger fan perspective, is a failure most years. That's just what it is. From a Marquette perspective, I'm not sure if it's the same standard, but it's close to the same standard.
It's got to be in that conversation. Will's in New Berlin. He's up on the fan. Hey, Will.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks a lot. Let me first state that I'm a big Paul Chris guy, and I think he is the guy that can get us to one of those Final Fours. But I'm kind of disappointed in Paul right now. I mean, who's going to be carrying the rock next year? I think it's a pretty big recruiting fail that we don't have a top flight running back coming in or waiting in the wings, as far as I can tell. We've always had one at Wisconsin.
Well, they're in the running for a top flight running back right now. Now, they're in their they're in his top five, Jalen Berger, who is a four-star running back out of Don Bosco in New Jersey. He hasn't made his decision yet, but that would be a top flight running back coming in as a freshman if they were to get him.
Okay. I know we're in the running for him, but I'm shocked we don't have anybody locked up
right
at this point.
Yep.
And that being said, if we don't get this guy from Jersey and we go to a running back by committee, who's going to sling the rock? Because I think Cone will be totally exposed if he doesn't have a top flight back. Are we going to go to Mertz next year, or are we going to stick with Cone guys?
Cone will be the starting
Jack quarterback. Jack Cone's the guy.
Okay. I think he's going to be exposed, but, hopefully Chris can pull a rabbit out of his hat. I have faith in him. I trust the guy. But I'm a little worried about next year, boys.
It sure is an interesting point bringing up that they're not going to be maybe as scared of the Badgers ground game without Jonathan Taylor's sitting back there. And I think that's a legitimate concern to have. And see, again, this goes right back to what I said before, and I don't want to go down this path, but that is why Graham Mertz should have had that job. Let him get a year without having all the pressure on with having Taylor in the backfield, because now if something happens and he does get to go on there and play, there's going to be no threat of a ground game if somebody doesn't step up. Not saying somebody can't step up, because this Badger offensive line is going to be gigantic again, right? So they're going to open up holes, and these running backs just have to take advantage of it. But what Jonathan Taylor did is a little bit different than just being good. He took it to a little bit of a different level. I'm not saying he's Melvin Gordon, but he did really, really
it's
well.
It's historic stuff,
yes,
what he
correct
did at
so
Wisconsin.
To say you're going to expect that from the next guy, I think that's a tall, tall order at this point.
I would expect for, and obviously I would never put any pressure on him, I'd be a little bit surprised, but this is the way that the game has gone nowadays. It's weird for me to see a guy that close to an iconic rushing record like that and not want to go back for one more. Completely understand why. For financial reasons, I can go be a first, second-round pick.
Hurt.
Don't want to get hurt. Take out an insurance policy and go be the all-time leading rusher in the NCAA. But does that mean certain things that it did 10, 15 years ago? No. Now, does it mean that to a Marcus Howard, who came back knowing that he's going to be the all-time leading scorer at Marquette, have his jersey retired? He was going to be closer to a second-round pick, a late-round pick comparison to the NFL.
I think there's a difference, too, when we start talking about draft and how both drafts work, right? So in the NCAA, when you come out as a freshman, and assuming you can be 18 again, but when you come out as a freshman, you have all this potential growth, right? Ceiling's so high. You come out after a junior year, ceiling's not as big. You come out after senior year, you're not going to get much better. You are who you are at this point. So now you fall because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're 21, 22 years old, people have already given up on you in the NBA. They don't think you can get that much better, which is hogwash. But that's how it works in the NBA. Okay. Now we turn to the NCAA football, and we look at Jonathan Taylor's career. You look at the pounding and the amount of carries he has had. I'm telling you, folks, that's going to work against him in the draft process when they look at the pounding he's taken. If he comes back for another year to take a similar pounding to what he's taken the last couple of years, it's going to hurt him more than it's going to help him, regardless if he holds that record or not. So really, it comes down to, does Jonathan Taylor really want that record, and how important is that record to him being in the history books
mm-hmm
at that point in college football and not worrying about the NFL? Or is it more important to go get paid and get to the NFL as soon as possible? Don't know. I mean, everybody's got something different, but I guarantee you all of these carries and the pounding he's taken is a negative in the eyes of scouts and evaluators, even though he's had production.
I couldn't agree more, and it's sad to me. I hate that part of it, but I also hated that now 200 innings consistently in the MLB is considered a knock because, well, durability back in the day would have been a good thing for a Madison Bumgarner. Now it cost him money because it's taxed on. It's stuff that you've done previously, and how is that going to affect our worth moving forward? It's a very selfish decision. I mean, if you come back simply to be the record holder, but I think years ago, it would have been one that I think you saw a lot more guys taking. And to be that close to history, I think it would really, really service him record-wise to come back, but I understand he won't.
So tell me this. If you were Paul Chris, and we'll get back to more of your calls, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Also tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. If you're Paul Chris, and he comes in to your office and he goes, "So, coach, what do we got for the NFL? What are they thinking?" And they're going, "Late first, somewhere maybe in the second round, JT. That's where we're looking.
And probably a day two.
Okay. So then he looks at you and says, Coach, I got a chance to get this college record. I feel pretty good with what we got coming back at wide receiver. Offensive line is going to be beasts just like they always are. I like Jack. He's been solid for us. What do I do?
I have a whole pitch.
Oh, you have a whole pitch?
How I would sell him to it. And
I didn't even know that when I brought it up.
I'll tell it next. No, 100%. Yeah, I have a whole pitch of how I would get Jonathan Taylor back in school if I was Paul Chryst. And I think some of it in the lead-in definitely would surprise you. I'll bring that to you next. But also more of your phone calls right now coming up after the break as to how big that loss or win would have been for the Badgers at the Rose Bowl yesterday. It's Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Fresh Wendy's deal coming at you. That's right. Right now at Wendy's, score two faves for just $5. Choose from 10-piece spicy or crispy nuggets, a Dave's single, or a spicy chicken sandwich. Wendy's two for $5. That's a win-win. We got you. Spicy nuggets available for a limited time only.
How do you get Jonathan Taylor back to Madison? I'll have the answer next. John McNamara tells us if it's a realistic opportunity in 10 minutes. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. AM 105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll talk to John McNamara coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan talking about the Badgers' loss in Pasadena yesterday and
back?
How big it could have been. Yeah, this is, as you said, the artist of the decade right here.
Yes, that was a little Drake.
This is one of my favorites. Hold on, we're going home.
Yeah, I don't understand. People hate him and they hate Russell Wilson. I don't get it.
You're never going to understand the Russell Wilson.
You have to tell me that off air.
I wish I could. I wish I could fully.
I love that kid.
Grasp it.
I wish he was my son.
I despised him for like 3 years because
well,
I thought
for
it,
obvious reasons. Because
I thought it was all an act. I thought you know the good guy, the lead, the whole let's go. Just thought it was the total rah rah.
But if Brett Favre says that you're good. With
oh man, I'd have posters
man, you
of it.
Suck.
I'd have straight posters
oh,
of it.
Man.
Now I realize that's just actually him. And it blows my mind every day that there are still leaders like that in the NFL. And it makes me happy and restores my faith in the game. So, Leroy,
I like that.
You were a dude that played in a couple of big-time old bowls, right? We were talking about the Sugar Bowl,
the Fiesta Bowl. Fiesta Bowl twice.
These are great name bowls, right? These are name-brand bowls, similar to the Rose Bowl yesterday.
Yeah.
Recruiting-wise, we'll ask John McNamara what that kind of effect can have neither here nor there, but just the outcome yesterday, what can that do for the dudes that are going to be coming back, even though it was a loss and a tough one yesterday?
Well, to me, the biggest thing is the quarterback. What will it do for the quarterback situation? Because if you're Graham Mertz and you're watching this, you're thinking, okay, maybe I could have competed better. Is my arm stronger? I mean, if you can get the ball out to Cephas a couple more times, it would be, you know, I don't know. But who's the replacement for Jonathan Taylor? That's going to be for everybody to know. And I was glad he got 2,000 yards, by the way. But wasn't a real big difference. But when you're talking about coming back, because that was the thing when we won the Sugar Bowl my junior year, Deion saved us again, picked off a pass against Auburn. And I'm coming back for my senior year. I'm looking at what All-Americans we got coming back. Oh, scrap that. What good players we got coming back. And then I'm like, where are we? We're in New Orleans. I met some top recruits down there because they got all these recruits, had like these dinners. And I'm thinking, hopefully some of these kids will come. It's about building a franchise for a few years for your senior year. And the seniors upcoming, that's a big deal. The guys who didn't go to the NFL.
Right.
So you were thinking, being out on the West Coast, Graham Mertz territory, if you can get a big lineman watching that game or somebody in that area, do you recruit that particular kid? But I think the Badgers will still be viable, I mean, next year. But you're just so disappointed because winning that game, now that's a different conversation. I really think it's a different conversation.
What changes? Yeah. Don't have Jonathan Taylor coming back.
No, I think it changes because it kind of changes the hardware of saying this team won the Rose Bowl with just Taylor as being the number one guy.
He's the superstar.
Yeah,
right.
When you had the other guys in the Rose Bowl, you had two or three guys that were named guys. So if you could have won, this game would have been, you know, Paul Chryst, probably other than Minnesota, Steve, I think this would have been his best coaching job, but it could be one of his biggest blunders. I mean, because they gave the game away. I don't want to hear this athletes anymore, because I know that's what people in Oak Creek was telling me. They don't have the athletes. I ain't trying to hear that.
I disagree. Yeah, they show they got a lot of good athletes on that team.
Listen, if Oregon got all these great athletes, which they do,
mm-hmm.
they should have blew them out. But they couldn't. I mean, Wisconsin should have won that game. I mean,
just look at some of the athletes on that team. Crookshank's a different style athlete than they've had, right? I mean, that's an athletic dude. Cephas might be one of the best receivers they've had in the last decade.
Just throw it to him.
He can go up and catch the
ball. And I'm going to tell you, I can't pronounce number one, the returner.
Crookshank, yeah.
Because they got two number mm-hmm. ones. Steve, if he's not on the Packers next year, I don't care what round. Target that kid. Get him in the unit. That kid, the truth, man. I don't know. Just a returner. That's the kind of talent that you see at Ohio State. Like, one and done, you know, gone. So, hey, listen. And that's what all my friends, they don't have the talent. I say, maybe they don't. Okay? But they can compete with that talent. And they showed that, because it wasn't a blowout.
You look at the talent they still have there. That is how I start my pitch, if I'm Paul Chryst, to Jonathan Taylor for one more run. Now, I go in here and tell you.
You didn't even say no one more run.
One more run. One more run, Jonathan.
He's staying one more year, Steve?
Look at what we have coming back. We got a senior quarterback.
No, let's hear him, though.
Eight starters returning on defense.
Go ahead.
Nelson was lost early in the year. We'll get him back. But more importantly, Jonathan, this is about putting you in a glorified air that nobody else has been able to do. You had 2,000 yards for three straight years, a freshman, sophomore, and a junior season, and you've been disrespected by the committee of the Heisman Trophy every single one of those years. This is about the respect that you deserve, and you put that Heisman next to your name, or Heisman finalist next to your name next year, with the all-time record rushing yardage lead in all of NCAA football. You go from being a late second rounder to a late first rounder next year.
But coach, all the banging and abuse I'm going
to
take next year, and all those carries that are going to be racked up, won't NFL executives hold that against me?
Not when you go to the college football playoff. They'll see your leadership qualities, and they'll say that you can build around a kid like that. They're looking for somebody that they can build an organization around, and your personality, your commitment to winning, and your commitment to your teammates will showcase that is you.
Jonathan, he's trying to guilt trip you in the stand.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, continue. Though.
I'm trying to teach him a great lesson about life and leadership.
Let Jonathan talk for us.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Roy, let me ask you this. As a coach, is your responsibility to the program or to the kid in these situations?
It's to the program. It really is.
It's a good one.
It's to the program. I will say that. Because I'm going to see thousands and thousands of kids. If the program is on point, the kids will come. It's like Field of Dreams type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the realistic think of it is, in Alabama, I'm getting you in the NFL.
And some of that is also to the program.
But they tell you that.
Because that's the program style, right? We're going to put dudes in the NFL.
Saban tells you. Saban ain't preaching. 100%. Saban's not preaching education in 4 years. Saban's preaching, you want to go to the NFL, kid? Yeah? Well, then come here.
We're going to be on national television every week. Come here.
Congratulations. We're going to put you in the NFL and make you a bunch of money.
I know Jonathan Taylor's sitting here, but I'll be like his agent. He just finished with 2,000 yards. That's the way you end. You're not going to overtake that.
I'm not going to be able to get better? I'm not going to be able to get my standing higher?
And as Steve, as Jonathan said, I don't want to put more carries on my body. I don't want to do that.
That's the toughest part about it. The carries on the body.
Because he's a running back.
Is difficult. And that's the one position that's changed in
the
league.
Go work on your speed. Get it down to in the lower 4.4s, and you get in the top 15, 20.
We already know you got speed. You won the 100-meter dash, 400-meter dash.
That don't mean nothing in the pros.
You keep working on that. No. We'll get you that yardage record.
He can always
and we'll
visit
make you a first-round pick.
Steve, I mean, Jonathan, you can always visit the program and come back next year.
Is still part of the program.
Yeah.
We're going to add him to the rap.
Yeah, put him in there. Do they have a ring?
Yeah, you'll have his number retired.
Yeah, put his number
once you become the all-time name. Once you become the all-time leading rusher. Once you beat Ron.
Who is it now, Ron Dane?
Some cat from San Diego State because they wouldn't have included
what
Ron's
year was it,
bowl
when your dad
games.
Played or something?
No, man, this kid broke it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? But the weird part of the rules in the NCAA is they don't count Ron Dane's bowl games to his all-time record. It was simply regular season stats. Now, in like 2009 or something, they decided that they're going to add on bowl games to your all-time rushing numbers, and this kid broke it basically from longevity. That's why you need to help out. John, you need to do this for the program.
I love
you, but you might need to do this for the program. Sorry.
I'm putting the program on the map by saying, with the 15th pick from Wisconsin. That's how I can help the program. Every other running back coming up is going to be like
That would work. That would be a good cash call for Jonathan Taylor. Your cash call opportunity comes up next. Chance at $1,000 on the Fan is straight ahead along with John McNamara. 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. It's your chance now for a $1,000 signing bonus on The Fan. All you need to do is text this hour's cash keyword to 72881. This hour's cash keyword is news. N-E-W-S. N-E-W-S news. Text news to 72881 for your chance at $1,000 before 3 o'clock through the 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours. Your next two chances to win, put a grand in your hand here on 105.7 FM. The Fan joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's the Wendy's Big Show. BadgerBlitz.com is where you find his work. John McNamara, McNamara Rivals on Twitter is how you follow him. J-Mac, good hearing from you today.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on.
Happy New Year as well, and all the good tidings to you, John. Tough loss yesterday for Wisconsin Badger fans, but we were trying to figure out, did Badger fans just start really caring about the result after the game, or how did you feel the anticipation for the Badgers in a Rose Bowl was leading up to yesterday's game against Oregon?
No, I think that, you know, Wisconsin fans are looking forward to this game. You know, I came on here and talked about the Rose Bowl being a huge game for Wisconsin, you know, no matter what year it is. So, obviously, like you said, a real tough result for the Badgers. But I thought it was a big deal. You know, Wisconsin fans, I think, traveled pretty well there. And, you know, it's kind of been a house of horrors for them. It was a tough result, 4 straight loss in the Rose Bowl.
You know, we talk about this deal with Jonathan Taylor and whether or not he comes back or goes to the pros. I think the assumption is that he just goes to the pros. And working under that assumption, then, are they in a position here where they really need Jalen Berger from New Jersey to commit to Wisconsin? He's in their top 5 right now. Are they in that type of situation, the Badgers, where they can pretty much look at him and go, hey, job's wide open. You can come in and start as a freshman.
Well, I think to start with Jonathan Taylor, you know, I would imagine is going to head to the NFL. I don't think there's anything else that he needs to prove at Wisconsin. But you mentioned Jalen Berger is going to make his decision on Saturday. You know, another kid from New Jersey. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor played a big part in his recruitment when they got him on campus for an official visit. You know, Jonathan Taylor talked about his experience at Wisconsin and, you know, what he's been able to do there and, you know, just kind of the lineage from New Jersey to Wisconsin. So, I think they end up getting his commitment on Saturday. So he played a big part in that. You know, the second part, do they need him? I think they do because, you know, you want to try to get a, you know, big time, high caliber running back in each recruiting class. And they don't have one right now. And Jalen Berger could be the guy for Wisconsin in 2020.
Now, Jalen Berger, correct me if I'm wrong, this will be the same one that he would be playing with Trey Wedding and Jack Nelson, the two big time offensive line recruits, correct, this weekend?
Yeah, they're all playing down in Texas in an Army All-American Bowl. Like you mentioned, Jack Nelson, Trey Wedding, two guys who have signed with Wisconsin already, two kids from inside the state are down there, and I'm sure they're in Jalen Berger's ear. You know, from what I've been told, Jalen, he's already made his decision. He's just going to make that public on Saturday.
How much and how different, John, covering the recruiting aspect of college sports, has it changed in the last, I mean, I would say decade is way too large of a scale. Just in the last couple of years, with Instagram and social media, the ability for these dudes to be communicating left and right. So many of these guys that are being recruited alongside each other, like a Nelson, Wettig, and now obviously Berger too, these guys are in much closer communication than in years past, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You talk to these guys, they're all in, you know, the same group chat together, the same Snapchat groups together. You know, that helps when you have guys who are committed and, you know, you're going after those other targets. So you have 10 guys in a group chat and you add, you know, your top two guys that you want to commit. That certainly helps. So, yeah, things have changed a lot on that aspect. You know, it's also changed in, you know, the way that this news is reported. You know, 10 years ago when I started, you know, you could actually break a story. Now, you know, everything's on Twitter, everything's on Instagram, everything's on social media already. So it's kind of different all the way around. But social media has definitely changed things. And, you know, just the way that kids are able to communicate changes things as well. If you, you know, get a handful of kids that go on a visit together to Wisconsin, you know, they start following each other. They start communicating with each other. So, you know, kids are just talking more and, you know, there's a lot more avenues for them to do that.
Let's talk about this offense a little bit more. We talked about Berger a little bit there at running back. What about this offensive line? Are you feeling good about how this offensive line looks coming into next year?
Well, they're going to have some question marks there. You know, you would assume, just like Jonathan Taylor, that Tyler Biadasz is going to head to the NFL. You know, with that, you'd have to replace both guards and your center. You know, one thing I think they could do is bump Logan Bruss inside the guard, and that would open up Tyler Beach to potentially start at right tackle. You know, you look at it, maybe Caden Lyle step up at that center. Josh Seltzer's the guy who started games. Maybe he starts at guard as well. So, you know, they have some question marks there, but, you know, they certainly have some intriguing guys that, you know, they'll work out in the spring. You know, they'll work into the fall. But they have three starting jobs on the interior that they need to get filled during the offseason.
What about wide receiver? They look a lot more stable there. And obviously, Quintez Cephas's decision will be a major factor into what that group looks like moving forward.
Yeah, it's a big group, and, you know, obviously Cephas, his decision is going to play a large part in what Wisconsin's able to do there. But, you know, even behind him, Kendrick Pryor, Danny Davis, you know, Jack Dunn, Adam Krumholtz, all those guys are going to be seniors next year. So it's a big group of guys who have played a lot of football for Wisconsin. But, you know, behind them, it's just a bunch of, you know, unproven guys. And, you know, spring camp will be big for them. Obviously, fall camp will be big for them as well. But it's a strong group. But, you know, guys like Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor, you know, I don't know that they've necessarily lived up to their potential. So, you know, if Cephas were to go, you're looking at those two guys as guys that really have to step up next year as seniors.
How concerned are you by how good Minnesota looked this year, what they did in the bowl game against Auburn, what P.J. Fleck has been able to do on the recruiting trail as far as the next 2 or 3 years as Minnesota appears to be getting better?
Well, to start with, Minnesota had a really good team this year, and they had excellent wide receivers. You know, we're going to see what P.J. Fleck's going to be able to do, you know, after some of those guys leave early for the NFL. The biggest thing is what this program at Minnesota is going to look like after losing their offensive coordinator. He's headed to Penn State. So, you know, he was kind of the, I don't want to say the brains of the operation, but he's been a guy that's been with Fleck since his time at Western Michigan. You know, he put that offense in. So I think that's a big loss for the Gophers. There seems to be this perception that Minnesota is recruiting at this elite level. I don't really see that. You know, they're recruiting well, I would say, under P.J. Fleck, but they're not doing anything that's blowing anyone out of the water. So, again, this is a really good Minnesota team. They had a great bowl win against Auburn, but it's not something that, you know, I don't think any Wisconsin fans are kind of shaking in their boots about. They went in there and they beat Minnesota this year, and I think they're confident they can do that, you know, all the years kind of going forward with P.J. Fleck there.
John, does it appear that the Badgers are starting to recruit at a different level than in years past?
I think they have been in really these last couple classes. You know, the 2019 group was really, really strong. They had headliners, obviously, Logan Brown, Graham Mertz. You know, this year's group had a really strong finish with Caden Johnson, the four-star kid from Minnesota. And like we talked about earlier, on Saturday they could get Jalen Berger, who's a top 50 kid, you know, four-star running back from New Jersey. So they're just in the conversation with more of those, you know, quote-unquote elite kids from across the country. You know, going back to when Paul Chris took the job, the big question mark around him was, you know, how well is he going to be able to recruit? And I think he's kind of exceeded all expectations there. So I would say as a whole, the recruiting is on an uptick.
okay, on an uptick. What about this coaching staff? You have any fear of any of these guys leaving? I know Jim Leonard is a name that everybody fears eventually is going to land a head coaching job somewhere. I think Joe Rudolph has to be considered another guy that might get a head coaching job at some point.
Right. I would imagine Rudolph would potentially leave ahead of Jim Leonard. You know, he was mentioned for, I believe, the Temple job when that opened up last year. I think there might be a push for him to get a head coaching job. You know, he's been with Wisconsin for a while. He's been with Paul Chryst for a while. I think the natural progression for him would be to take a head coaching job somewhere. He's got some real strong recruiting ties in Ohio and kind of that Western Pennsylvania area as well. So it wouldn't shock me if he took a head coaching job. Now, Jim Leonard's, I think, the guy that most people are worried about. You know, a lot of talk from the Rose Bowl this week was that he's very happy in Madison. You know, he's got a family. He's got young kids that are happy to be in Madison. So, you know, he, for the most part, I think he's happy being the defensive coordinator of Wisconsin. But I think every year he is going to be someone whose name pops up for some high-profile jobs. You know, a couple years ago it was Alabama. You know, I think that his name's going to pop up at the college and NFL level. I think that's just something Wisconsin fans have to get used to.
You may love living in Madison, but at some point money talks. We all know those Badgers football program does not pay their assistant coaches near as much as what a lot of these other Division I programs are making that are playing at the top end of the top 25 year in and year out like the Badgers are. And at some point, there's going to be too much money for him to turn down, I think.
You know, I agree with that, but he's a guy that spent 10 years in the NFL. I think he's got some money from that.
True.
And
yeah,
you can't put a price on stability. You know, every year, I would say 95% of the coaches across the country, assistants and head coaches, you know, they're not 100% confident about their job. And that's stressful each and every year to go through that. You know, if a head coach leaves, then you get kicked out of the door. Maybe you're taking a promotion somewhere. So it's a stressful business this time of year with college coaches. I think Jim Leonard likes the stability there. Obviously, he's got strong roots in Madison. I think he's comfortable with that job. And there's a chance that he's the next in line to replace Paul Chryst whenever, you know, he decides to step aside at Wisconsin. So I think that there's things that he realizes about the coaching world. He's in a unique position that he doesn't have to deal with some of those things. I think he's very happy with where he's at Wisconsin. Now, like you said, Sparky, there could be a job out there that he has his eye on, and there could be a price tag on there that is too much to pass on. But for right now, I think he's very happy where he is.
The fiscal part of it is fascinating. John McNamara joining us from BadgerBlitz.com. Just a couple more minutes here on the Wendy's Big Show. That part of it is so intriguing to figure out how they'd be able to keep him and if he got an offer similar to like a Dave Aranda. But when you look at this program right now today, John, who next year could be the one player that Badger fans are going to find themselves looking and saying, how were we not utilizing him last year?
That's a good question. You know, with Wisconsin, it starts with tailback, and they're going to begin that post-Jonathan Taylor era, you know, during spring camp. Nakia Watson's the next guy in line. I know we saw a little bit of him in 2019. That's someone that the staff is really, really high on. You know, he's going to be given the opportunity to kind of take the keys to that luxury position at Wisconsin. And, you know, we'll see what he's able to do with that. Now, there's guys behind him too. Isaac Arendo, you saw a little bit in the Rose Bowl. You know, Julius Davis, the kid from in-state who redshirted this past season. And then if they get a guy like Berger, he's a guy that is a, you know, he's not a redshirt guy. He's going to come in and demand carries right away, I think, if he's able to, you know, digest the playbook and kind of handle what he can do there mentally. So with Wisconsin, you always look at tailback, and the next guy in line is Nakia Watson. So he's going to be someone that, you know, has a lot of eyeballs on him this spring and going into the fall.
John, appreciate it, man. Happy New Year. Say Happy New Year to the family as well. Enjoy it. And we'll be talking soon here as Badger basketball will kick us into a heck of a run for the next couple of months. And we'll take off a week before we mention how that team looks. John, appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's John McNamara joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. So from probably the best running back in the country to maybe the best running back in the NFC, is he in the state of Wisconsin? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.